In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been into a pit of depression or despair, you know how dark that can be because it seems like you're in there and there's no way out. And there is no way out on your own. And what do you do about it? Well, Psalm 39 or 40 in the King James Version tells us what we can do about it. It begins, "With patience I waited patiently for the Lord, and he was attentive unto me, and he hearkened unto my supplication." We have to learn to be patient and wait upon God for his mercy, knowing in faith that God will hear and that he will act in his time and in the way that he sees fit. We have his promises in Scripture that if we trust in him, if we repent of our sins, we look to him for his grace and his mercy, that we will receive it. And we just have to know that we're going to get that. So that's the light at the end of the tunnel that we can look towards. And it talks about he was attentive unto me. In the Hebrew, it says he inclined unto me. So it's the image is as if God is coming down to us to listen to us. But it doesn't always seem like that happens as quickly as we would like it, but God does it. "And he brought me up out of the pit of misery and from the mire of clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he ordered my steps aright." The image of a pit as a dungeon that's described here, we find a pretty good example of it in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah had been prophesying things that people didn't want to hear. And so the king was told, "You need to kill this man." Well, the king didn't want to just outright kill him, but he decided to put him into a pit in a dungeon. And so he was lowered down by ropes, and we're told that there was no water in at the bottom of the pit, but that Jeremiah sunk into the mud because there was a bunch of mud at the bottom of that pit. And there wasn't any other exit other than being taken up out of that pit by ropes. And you can imagine that a pit like that, there would be obviously no custodian or cleaning lady that would be coming along at the end of the day to clean that up. That wasn't the purpose of it. So it would just get more and more disgusting and miserable as time went on, and it was a place where usually people, if they were left in there long enough, they would die of disease, if they didn't just die of hunger, if they weren't being fed. But in Jeremiah's case, we're told that there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was providing him with food and water until he was eventually brought out of the pit. But what the fathers tell us is that the mire that's in this pit is the mire of the world, of sin and of its fruits. But it also represents death. And the rock that we're set upon is the rock of faith in Christ, and the truth of the gospel orders our steps aright so that we can stay out of the pit of misery and out of the miry clay. God can raise us up out of the pit of sin, and he can also raise the dead out of the pit of the grave. And the gospels, after the crucifixion and burial of Christ, he rose from the dead, and so he made it possible for us to be raised from the dead to life eternal. So, as with much of the Psalms, this psalm has many levels of meaning. It functions on the level of David in his own life. It also has an application to Christ in many cases, as is the case of this psalm, but it also applies to his church, those that love him. "And he hath put into my mouth a new song, a hymn unto our God. Many shall see and shall fear and shall hope in the Lord." If you've ever been in that pit of despair and you've gotten out of it, you know that you have a change of heart. Everything looks very differently. When you're down in that pit, it can look like there's nothing that you can do, and you can very easily fall into such despair that you start thinking about things like suicide. But if you read the Scriptures, if you know what the truth of the gospel is, you should know that it doesn't have to end there. That might be a reality for a season, but God will get you out of that if you just simply look to him. We get ourselves into that pit because of our own sins, and we don't always see how our sins get us into that pit, but we stumble, we fall, we do things that make ourselves miserable, and then we wind up in this hole. We're wondering, how did we get here? Well, one of the ways that you start getting out of that is by realizing how you got in there, and it's because of your own sins. And if you repent and you begin to trace your steps back to where you left God, God will be there, and God will lift you up. And when people see how God has delivered us from the pit of misery and sin, they're inspired to fear the Lord and to hope in Him. But it's especially true of the faith that comes from coming to understand and to see the meaning of Christ's resurrection from the dead and what that means for us. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the name of the Lord, and who hath not looked upon vanities and false frenzies. Christ is the only basis of real hope. He's the solid rock upon which we can stand, and those that place their hope in anything else are trying to walk on quicksand. And that's true, obviously, of idolatry, but it's true of the many false idols that are worshipped in our culture today, riches, pleasure, and power. There's all kinds of books you could read or experts that you could consult that could tell you how you could be a happy person, how you could come to great success in life, but all of these things are lies. The only thing that can give you the real lasting happiness is coming to know Christ and coming to have a relationship with Him. And if you do that, you're really going to achieve some level of happiness. That doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be great, that you're going to be a millionaire, that you're going to have a brand new car, or any of that kind of stuff. But it means that in whatever circumstances you're in, you will know who the source of your life is, and you'll know who to look to, and you will have a deep peace even in the midst of the storms of the life that surround us. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonders which thou hast wrought, and thy thoughts there is none that shall be likened unto thee. I declared and spake, they are multiplied beyond number. St. Paul talked about the very same thing, putting it in a different way. He said, O, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then, from this point on in the psalm, we begin to hear Christ speaking in his own voice. And by the way, I should have said at the beginning, I'm not going to do the whole psalm today, just the first half, but we'll do the second half later. Sacrifice and offering hast thou not desired, but a body hast thou perfected for me. Whole burnt offerings and oblations for sin hast thou not demanded. Then I said, Behold, I am come. In the heading of the book it is written concerning me, to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is in the midst of my bowels. St. Paul quotes these very verses, and he explains what they mean. He says, Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sins, thou didst not desire, nor hadst pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This is really an amazing prophecy of Christ, because here we have the prophet King David writing this psalm. He obviously, in his own scope of his life, wouldn't have envisioned a time when the sacrifices of the tabernacle and then later of the temple, which his son Solomon built, would have come to an end. But by God's grace and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was able to see beyond that point. And what we see is that Christ is saying that these sacrifices, which pointed to the sacrifice of Christ, that's not really what God desired. They were there in the Old Testament to teach the gospel before the gospel came. But when he came, when he received human flesh and suffered in our place, he became that sacrifice that all those prophecies are talking about. And so now there's no reason to continue those Old Testament sacrifices. And as a matter of fact, by God's providence, he's not allowed the Jews to continue those sacrifices. They were done away 40 years after his crucifixion, according to his own prophecy, and they've not resumed from then until now. And when it says, Thy law is in the midst of my bowels, the way that the King James translates that from the Hebrew, which has similar wording in the Hebrew, but the King James puts it into more idiomatic English, Thy law is within my heart. That's what that's talking about. I have proclaimed the good tidings of thy righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, my lips I shall not restrain. Lord, thou knowest it. Thy righteousness have I not hid in my heart. Thy truth and thy salvation have I declared. I have not concealed thy mercy nor thy truth from the great assemblage. Christ proclaimed the truth of the gospel among all the Jews, and he hid nothing. Likewise, we need to proclaim the truth of the gospel, both by speaking the truth to those around us, but most importantly, by living out the truth of the gospel in our lives, and so other people can see that it's not just us talking, but that there is really something to it. If we are in a pit of despair, if we ever find ourselves there, the way out of it is looking to God. The truth of the gospel is that no matter how far we may sink, Christ can reach down and grab us out. And even when we die and we're in the grave, Christ will reach down his hand to us and raise us up on the last day. This is the truth of Christianity. This is the blessed hope that the New Testament talks about. And there's no reason for us to despair. There are circumstances around us which can lead us to despair, but only if we get our eyes off of Christ. But if we put our eyes back on him and we know that he will do what he says he will do, there's no reason for us to stay there, and he will lift us up. We will be raised out of that miry pit of misery and despair. Amen.